Hello, I'm Pastor Steve Igo from Cedar Church, located in Hudsonville, Michigan. I'm glad you've joined us to listen to this message. If you would like additional information on Cedar Church, stay tuned after this sermon. This message was recorded at one of our weekly services, and I hope you find it challenging.
To turn with me to the Sermon on the Mount. That's found in Matthew's Gospel. We're up to chapter 7. Today we look at a single verse. It's a wisdom saying of Jesus as we've entered a portion of our sermon series called Attitudes for Renewal. Many of you know we are praying for renewal, revival, and reformation here at Cedar Church in our hearts, our families, the Church of Christ, and out to our community, nation, and world. And we studied in chapter 6, prayer for renewal, fasting for renewal, almsgiving for renewal. Now we move into chapter 7 as we are finishing a section called Attitudes for Renewal. Attitudes and conduct that reflects renewal found in Jesus Christ. So I invite you to follow along as I read Matthew's Gospel, chapter 7. We'll read verse 6 only. Matthew 7, verse 6, this is the word of our Lord Jesus Christ. Do not give dogs what is sacred. Do not throw your pearls to pigs. If you do, they may trample them under their feet and then turn and tear you to pieces. This is the word of our Lord. Let's pause for a word of prayer. We pray, O Lord, that your Spirit would come and bless this preaching and proclamation of your word. May Christ and his wisdom and his power be on display. May you change our hearts and minds to be aligned with Jesus Christ, that we may know the blessings that come with faith in him. Thank you, O Lord, for the wisdom our prophet, our Rabbi Jesus gives us as he teaches. We ask this all in Christ's name, and let us say, amen. Well, many years ago, Lynn and I lived next door to a boy whose automobile was plastered with irreligious bumper stickers. And there were some pretty startling bumper stickers on his car. One of them said, if God had wanted me to be a Christian, he would have made me more gullible. Or this one, the earth's axis is the reason for the season. Or this one, does God speak to you? Consider medication. Now, before you write off people like that, I want you to know that our family befriended that boy. And we had several very good conversations with him about God. And the whole time we talked, he was very nice and very respectful to us. He appreciated our friendship. He enjoyed the discussions. You see, that boy did not match on the inside what those bumper stickers said on the outside. And so it was our hope that perhaps he was going through a phase of young immaturity and may one day embrace faith in God and Jesus Christ. So my urging to you is don't give up on people like that. Sometimes they're almost begging for conversation. At first glance, they appear to be belligerent to God. However, there are other times when such is not the case. There are some people out there who are incurably irreligious. They have no respect for the things of God, and it appears they never will. Today, Jesus urges us to stay clear of them. Not only are you wasting your time and your breath, but, says Jesus, you are risking attack. And sometimes, not always, but sometimes that attack could tear you to pieces, says our verse. And this is about, it is about these people that Jesus speaks in this short one-verse proverb found in Matthew 7, verse 6. Let's follow it again. I'll read it out loud. Do not give dogs what is sacred. Do not throw your pearls to pigs. If you do, they may trample them under their feet and then turn and tear you to pieces. Now, at first glance, these words appear rather harsh to come from the lips of Jesus. Especially, what did we study last week? Verses 1 through 5, do not judge. Jesus said, do not judge. And to brand someone a dog or to brand someone a pig is rather insulting, is it not? And yet, if you study the gospel and the life of Jesus, we find that on occasions that our Lord Jesus Christ was not afraid to call a spade a spade. Remember how he called Herod that old fox? He did that in Luke 13:32. Do you remember how he called the Pharisees a brood of vipers? He did that in Matthew 23, verse 33. And so on one hand, while we should not be nitpicking fault finders, neither should we be simpletons and pretend that the world is filled with harmless people who are all doves. They are not. The world is not a safe place, according to Jesus. And the Bible teaches that there is a category, a certain category of people out there in the world that the Bible calls fools and scoffers and the scornful. And while we should never hate them or hatefully judge them, we should be discriminating and discerning about calling them friends. Do you remember the words of Psalm 1? Psalm 1, it said, blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stand in the way of sinners, nor sit in the seat of scorners. And the reason is this. One quality of a fool is that when he is confronted with Christ, when he is corrected with the truth, he can become hostile and hurtful. Proverbs 9, verse 8, which is the Old Testament version of this verse from Jesus, says this, do not rebuke a mocker, or he will hate you. Rebuke a wise man, and he will love you. So this is the warning of Jesus. Don't be hypercritical of others, we learn in verse 1 of chapter 7, but don't make the opposite mistake either, and simply ignore the faults of people who are dangerous to you. So this leads us to our first question. Are you ready? How can you recognize the swine and the canine in your life? How can you recognize the swine and the canine who are in your life? Well, firstly, we learn that dogs and pigs in the ancient world were particularly disliked because they had very dirty habits. You and I today often think of dogs as man's best friend. We have a dog, we've had one for about a year and a half, and we love our dog. We love to pet our dog and hold our dog. How could anything wrong be with a dog? But in the ancient world, that was not the case. Dogs were mongrels. Dogs were scavengers. Dogs were vagabonds who roamed the city dump. They were not sweet little lap dogs. As far as pigs go, well, you and I know their fondness for what? Mud. That's right. And so what Jesus means by canine and swine are morally unclean people with habits hostile to the gospel. Morally unclean people with habits hostile to the gospel. Do you know people who are just cynical all the time? I mean, they're just cynical, have nothing positive to say. Or people who are sarcastic. They're always skeptical, always condescending, always looking their nose down at you or things divine. Well, those are nasty habits, hostile to faith. And I have found in my years as witnessing as a pastor that I can usually find those attitudes on a local college campus when I talk with the free thinkers and the atheists about their non-belief in God. You can generally, and I've done it many years, find such students willing to pick up a debate out in the middle of the campus green, and they are dedicated to wasting their afternoons doing nothing but debating on the university campus while the rest of us are making a living. So Jesus says, flee from friendships with people like these. They are juvenile relationships and they're dangerous. Do you know people like that? Do you know people who are always arrogant, always proud, always looking down on people not as good as they? Sometimes they're top athletes and scholars and business people. They are people who you might be drawn to because they are popular and powerful, but their pride is hostile to faith. Their pride is hostile to the humility Jesus commands. Flee from relationships with people like that. God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Well, dogs and pigs are those people whose dirty habits embitter them toward God, and they are more than happy to soil you. Secondly, a second way to identify the swine and the canine in your life is this. Dogs and pigs in the Bible were religiously unclean. They were religiously unclean. We know that about pigs, right? Pigs were unclean in Old Testament days. Even today, modern-day Jewish people are forbidden to eat any kind of pork. Well, also, dogs were ceremonially unclean as well, because the dogs in the ancient world, they would eat the rotting carcass of a dead animal, and that made them unclean. And so that is why in days gone by, the Jews had developed a very sad habit, of calling Gentile outsiders names like dogs. Well, here in this proverb of Jesus, swine and canine represent people who are religiously opposed to the gospel. Not just morally opposed to the gospel, but religiously opposed. Now, this does not mean that we call our non-Christian neighbors by names. The Bible says, if it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Mark 16:16 says to go and preach the gospel to every living creature. But when your neighbor or colleague is spiritually hostile to Jesus Christ, leave them be. Give them space. Sometimes we keep pestering people. We just need to leave them alone. Sometimes we try to form an alliance with them, and we shouldn't. Keep at a safe distance. You might have a neighbor who is a loud and angry secular humanist. You might have a neighbor or colleague who is a pushy and persistent member of the cult. Leave them be. I've had many experiences with people like these, and I have seen few change. But they certainly lashed out at me. I'll remember that. I've been called names by them. I've been threatened by a few of them in just a normal conversation. When someone has an ideology or a religion that makes them hostile and angry to Jesus, move on. I have found there are so many people out there who would love your friendship much more than they. Why do God's people love to hobnob with the hogs and run with the hounds? The world is filled with friendly felines and peaceful doves who desire real friendship, and they're open. Let us not look at the outward appearance when choosing our friends and acquaintances. Let's look at the heart, as does the Lord. Do not choose relationships with people who are hostile to all that is sacred and intolerant to the pearl of the gospel. If you do, you're wasting your breath and may end up trampled. I'm going to tell you a story about a good friend I had in college by the name of John. Now, John and I were very good friends because he went to a Bible college I had hoped to attend one day, Moody Bible Institute. John and I were friends at Ohio State, and John decided to do his advanced theological studies, and I was planning to do the same myself, and we were both excited. John decided he wanted to be an evangelical witness at a very prestigious and very liberal divinity school. And within 1 year, they had hacked away at his belief in the historic Christian faith. I'll never forget talking to John and finding out that he didn't believe the New Testament was hardly written by any of the original writers. John had been attacked. John ended up trampled. You have to choose wisely. All right, so that's firstly, how do you identify the canine and the swine in your life? The second question is, how can you effectively cast the pearl of the gospel to the world? You see, the command here says, do not do it before swine. But nonetheless, it is presumed that we cast the gospel to the world. How do we do it? Well, I believe this proverb teaches us several important lessons. Firstly, it's very clear. Jesus says, when you are casting the pearl of the good news to the world, number one, know your audience. Know who you're talking to. Learn to distinguish, to change the metaphor a bit, between doves and hawks. People who are friendly to the gospel and those who are hostile to the gospel. Do all that you can to answer the first, and do all you can to let the second people go. You see, you should not handle a Pontius Pilate in the same way you would handle a Herod Antipas. Yes, you can answer the question of a curious Pilate, but you should remain silent with a hostile Herod. Paul himself actually encountered three responses to the gospel when he preached about the resurrection of Christ in the city of Athens. We learn in Acts 17, verse 32, some sneered, others believed, and still others said, we want to hear you again on this subject. So you and I should meet the need according to our audience. The needs differ from person to person. To the curious Jew, Paul became a Jew that he might win some. To the ignorant Gentile, Paul became a Gentile that he might win some. He became all things to all men that by all means some might be saved. I remember when my mentor, Pastor Larry, many of you know of or have met Larry, he mentored me in college, and he told me about his conversion experience. And he said, Steve, I was converted by the preaching of Pastor Grotenhouse and the cooking of Mrs. Grotenhouse. And that was his particular need. Know the person, meet the need. Firstly, know your audience. Secondly, carefully choose those in whom you spiritually invest your time. You know, if you study the life of Jesus, it may surprise you to learn that Jesus did not spend his time carelessly. He was a very discriminating Messiah. Certainly, he did preach to the crowds. Yes, he preached in the temple, the synagogue, and the open air. And he preached to all types, Jews and Gentiles, men and women, saints and sinners. But Jesus saved his best time, his choicest time, to those who sought him out. Mark 2, verse 13, Luke 6, verse 17. He spent time to those to whom the Father had given him. He would preach the parables to the crowds, but he would explain the parables to his inner circle. He was transfigured, but not to the masses. It was only to a favored few. Yes, he spent time with the publican and sinner and lepers, but always as they sought him out. They were interested in what he had to say. In Matthew chapter 10, verse 14, Jesus said, if anyone will not welcome you or listen to your words, shake the dust off your feet when you leave that home or town. And so in Acts chapter 18, verse 5, we see it, we read it. When the Jews opposed Paul and became abusive, He shook out his clothes in protest and said, "Your blood be on your own heads. I am clear of my responsibility. From now on, I will go to the Gentiles." So you and I should definitely be interested in all the people God puts into our lives. But don't beg people who have no intention of listening to the gospel. Don't feel bad. Don't spin your wheels when you meet someone uninterested in the words of life. Choose carefully how you invest your time. This was the method Jesus insisted upon his disciples, and it will bear fruit. Finally, carefully choose which pearl of the gospel you will actually cast in front of the world. Carefully choose. You know, I remember my theology professor at seminary telling me that the gospel is like a multifaceted diamond. It catches the light as you spin it. There are so many different angles and blessings of the gospel, so many benefits that Christ has given us, and as you study them and turn the gem, it catches the light and sparkles in unique ways. One aspect of the gospel that we like at Christmas time is the incarnation. We celebrate the humble birth of Jesus. Another teaching we love at Easter time is the resurrection of Christ and our future resurrection by faith. Another aspect of the gospel that is beautiful to celebrate, the adoption we have in the family of God. Or God's control and providence over all things. Or God's many promises and commands, even heaven. However, the gospel is multifaceted, and there are certain aspects of the diamond that people are not going to be interested in, and that maybe should be shared before sharing certain other truths. Some people are ready for meat right away. Others are ready only for milk. So choose the truths of the gospel carefully that you are about to share. For example, election and predestination are wonderful doctrines of the faith, but that may not be the first thing I share with somebody when presenting the gem of the gospel. The central gem I wish to present is justification by grace alone, the incarnation and resurrection of Christ, the assurance we can have in knowing him by faith. That's the pearl I often place first before the world. R.B. Kuyper once put it this way. He said, "Election is the foundation of the gospel, and faith in Christ is the door of the gospel. And whenever one enters a house, he normally does so through the door." Let's put first things first when we present the gospel. Now you see this actually happening in Jesus' encounter with the woman of the well, the woman at the well in John 4. The woman wanted to talk to Jesus, and that's good. And she approached him, and she has all of these theological questions. She wants to know about the being of God. She wants to know about biblical worship and where it should occur. She wants to talk about first century racial tensions between the Samaritans and the Jews. But the Lord would not allow it. He kept bringing her back to the basics. She needed living water. She was leading a sinful life. She needed salvation. Now, Jesus had convictions about all of her different questions, and you might recall he peppers a few of them out as he's walking, as he's going about the conversation, but his focus is on the center of the gospel, and that should be our center as well. Jesus Christ crucified. Not church politics, not the culture wars, not the theological subtleties. They are not at the center of the Christian faith. The message of Christ crucified is the supreme pearl we should cast before the world. If we want to be a good witness, we must keep first things first. So I close this evening with this reminder. These are the words of Jesus. Do not cast your pearl before swine. That is his command. And by this, it is not permission to be impatient with our neighbors, nor is it warrant to be intolerant of our fellow Americans, but it is a call to be wise and discreet in our use of time and energy to advance the glorious cause of Jesus. By this precept, Jesus governed his own ministry. He preached to all, but discipled only a few. He lived for all, but died only for his elect. He spoke of the Holy Spirit, but poured it out only upon some. In his ministry, he was discreet. And by that focused mission-mindedness is how he won our salvation. Let us follow in his lead. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. It is a lamp to our feet and it is a light to our path. We thank you for the wisdom of our Lord Jesus Christ. He reminds us the world is not a safe place. There are so many people we do love and know and trust, but there are many who mean ill for us, body and soul. We pray, O Lord, that we would not be starry-eyed and foolish. Help us, O Lord, to choose our friends carefully and wisely. And as people are drawn to us and we are drawn to them, we pray that we would invest time and speak wisely the very facets of the gospel that our friend needs to hear. We pray, O Lord, that you would grant to us wisdom to know how to spend that time and what we should say. We all have loved ones, relatives, neighbors, family members, friends, colleagues who we would love to know you. Lord, we pray that you would guide us in our relationships with them. Encourage and inspire us by the strategy of our Lord Jesus in his own ministry, and grant us wisdom by your grace to do the same. We ask this all in Jesus' name, and let us all say,
Amen. This message was brought to you by Cedar Church, one of the newest churches in a historic denomination, the Orthodox Presbyterian Church. We meet weekly for worship in the Hudsonville Christian Elementary School. Our services are held at 9:30 a.m. and 5:30 p.m. For additional information, or if we can be of assistance to you, feel free to contact me, Pastor Steve, at 616-669-9151 or on the church website at www.cedarchurch.net.